Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We are once again joined by our regular crew, starting with Randy. How's it going?
I have stage fright because I just found out how many people listened to this episode, and now I don't know if I can act normal again. I'm so sorry, guys.
Which we're very grateful for. Thank you, everyone who does listen.
Just be sure to rate and like this, because apparently subscriptions don't mean a thing anymore.
That's right.
Please,
be sure
please
to
continue doing that.
Go to the rating section and click write a review as well. Just write like one sentence, and then that helps us out.
When I was looking at this a couple days ago, only one person had rated us since.
I think it's very delayed.
So y'all need to get on it. Like, my goodness.
They do.
This is Nick, by the way. Hello.
Nick, how's it going?
I'm doing horrible. You didn't introduce me. Gosh.
I thought you were doing horrible because I made an Apple hate video that made you upset.
You did. I was a little bit triggered.
Let's talk about that.
I wanted to hear why Nick was triggered. Because
friendship over.
Talosiv was overly agreed with that day.
The
most amount of
it.
People I've ever seen agree with me I've ever experienced.
Because you sold out like Linus.
Ew.
I texted you this, but you were supposed you're the chosen one, Drew. You were supposed
you
to destroy Linus,
one!
Not join him.
We always say Apple's not perfect. This is one of
Apple
those
Apple is perfect. Gosh.
How dare you speak those words? No,
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
I want to hear the rebuttal. Let me hear okay. Why you disagree.
So please. Your main point was Apple should fix the keyboard.
Go right. Back. Go back to the old keyboard.
Yep. Go back
scissor
to the
mechanism.
2015 keyboard or, you know, fix it. Basically,
they call it the
thesis.
Scissor mechanism.
Okay.
Yes.
Fine. I love
fine.
It. Fine. I've been a butterfly keyboard user since the original MacBook, the 12-inch
MacBook. Yeah, me too.
MacBook.
I love it too.
I loved that thing. I used that thing for a year and a half, and it didn't have any problems.
Same.
And then you sent me your stupid 15-inch MacBook Pro. And like, I think you sprinkled sand
mine worked
in
fine.
It or something. But, you know, it got stuck pretty quick. Like, a couple months after I got it, it was sticking on the S key. It was pretty funny.
Which I'm admitting,
as
a lot of
S
people have that problem.
And type twice,
and it's always the S key too.
Yes. And so there were type two S's whenever I typed as, which never was mm-hmm. good. But yeah, so I got it replaced, and it was working perfectly fine, and it's worked perfectly fine ever since, and I didn't have a problem with it. And I don't understand why everyone hates the butterfly mechanism keyboard, because to me it's the perfect keyboard experience.
It's the travel.
It is the perfect,
not
the
when the key keeps getting stuck.
It is the perfect amount of travel, and it's very clicky and precise, and you don't have to tap it right in the middle like my iPad smart keyboard here. It's very gushy. It's like your favorite kind of thing. It's like you push it on the side and the whole key kind of lists to the side. It's not precise like the butterfly.
It's called a high failure rate. That's my criticism of it, is that it's a large number of people who have to go get their MacBooks repaired, including yourself. I was lucky enough that in all my butterfly keyboards, I've never had a key go bad, but I'm also not someone who types constantly. I'm more of a video editor, which involves a lot of pressing the same keys over and over again and probably thinking about how I tweet or how I text or how I talk to people on Discord. I likely interact with a virtual keyboard more often than I do a physical one in regards to typing, because I'm on my iPad and I'm the one out of the three of us who uses the virtual keyboard.
I forget.
You guys
you.
Got your smart keyboards. And
you know why?
I don't think.
Because we're smart.
spending $200 on the thing an iPad already ships with out
so
of the box.
Much smart.
But I'm saying I love the butterfly keys. They feel great. I don't have a problem with them. They don't cause strain on my hands. However, I can acknowledge that there's a huge number of people that do feel uncomfortable with them, that have ran into the issue of them getting sticky, and they have to constantly either schedule an appointment, get it fixed. And my bigger issue is that it's been three generations now. It's gone through two redesigns since the original, and it's still failing. And the more recent MacBooks don't fall under the repair program, which I think they should. because it's not a user error. That's just a design flaw.
That's
and
just
at
an
this
error.
Point, like, what are we getting out of it? If people are, if Apple's perfectly content with shipping the iMac Pro with the scissor mechanism magic keyboard, even though it's expensive and everything, I have the overview of the product on my Mac right now. And I just wanted to list how they describe the old style scissor mechanism. It says,
ugly experience.
Magic keyboard and numeric keypad features an extended layout with document navigation controls for quick scrolling and full-size arrow keys for gaming. A scissor mechanism beneath each key allows for increased stability while optimized key travel and a low profile provide a comfortable and precise typing experience. The numeric keypad is also great for spreadsheets and finance applications, and also the built-in rechargeable batteries and whatever. That doesn't matter. I'm just saying, it's funny to me that they brag about the scissor keys, saying they have increased stability and optimized key travel, but they're hesitant to do that in a MacBook, even though we're having all of these failure rates.
Randy, you have something to say.
Future!
Future!
Future! Thank you, Drew. I'm so glad you got it. Oh no, he's hot.
when the Intel i9 starts activating turbo boost.
Oh no, he's hot. Okay.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. But
so two
I got
things.
The
actually
joke.
SpongeBob tech memes.
I love it.
Okay,
oh,
there you go.
So much SpongeBob. I love you so much. Okay. So three things. I think three things. I'll go in no particular order.
You are limited
one,
to three things, Randy.
Now, Drew, you got to read that back in Johnny I's voice because it was all about the sales pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
This is a mechanism beneath each key allows for increased stability.
Beneath each key. So, oh my God. With the reason why they're not, the reason why I don't think they're pushing the information about the butterfly mechanism, they know the bad rep that follows it. Even though they want to get behind it so bad, they know. They've stood, wasn't it like two major lawsuits over it or something? I think it was two.
Probably.
They get sued every day. But I mean, when it gets to the point that like we get emails from them saying, if you've been affected by this, you will get some type of, you know, something.
Free repair.
Yeah. So
for certain. Not all, but
not all of it. But now, so I think they don't try to, you know, like promote it the same way because of the backlash. And most importantly, I think these magic keyboards, are amazing. I've had this for like 4 years or so. Never gave an issue. Nothing.
They're
and
great.
I like, you know, clicky, tactile, you know, travel. I want to feel the only reason why I don't use for the iPad the digital one, even though sometimes I do, but when I'm work like typing a lot is because I need to feel it. So my brain tells me I actually wrote it, but my brain programs thumbs differently. When I go like this on my thumbs, I'm
you're
like,
right.
Yeah, okay, I can see it in lifetime. But here when I'm looking at so much screen real estate, I'm not looking at the keys. And so for me, that's just how I'm trained to do it. So that's why I like to have that type of keyboard. And the clickier, the better. The more travel for me, the better, because it just there's something satisfying about clack 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 clack. And then when I played on every MacBook since the first iteration of the butterfly mechanism, it was just like that first MacBook. I didn't know I was typing. It felt like a digital keyboard on a
that's what I loved about it
on a mechanical keyboard. I'm like, my left eye was twitching. I'm like, hey, what's
it's
weird.
A learning curve for
a
lot of people.
Curve. So
we've had keyboards for a long time.
Yeah. I've never had.
And that was changing.
I never bought any of the new MacBooks. I can't like personally attest to it, but I've used a lot of them with the new keyboard. And I'm indifferent overall. Like, yeah, there's somewhat of a satisfying feel where no matter you hit on the key, it goes down. But that was never like an issue for me. So they were fixing a problem I didn't have. So I was like, I'm indifferent. When they gave us the bigger trackpad, I was like, oh, well, yeah, that's cool too. Even though I would probably pair a mouse because
that
I
bigger trackpad
a mouse.
Was so nice. I can't go to a Mac with a smaller trackpad.
Well, you should just
go any to laptop.
IMac. Yeah, no, like seriously, it even the mat even the Magic Trackpad 2, the black one.
Yeah,
that was still smaller than the Magic Trackpad.
Oh,
the
you
Trackpad
Pro.
It was beautiful.
I mean, the main reason I wanted to make a video on it was because I had seen so many people that loved about 98% of the MacBook. They loved the design. They didn't even mind the USB-C, and that was a huge anger point for a lot of people on the internet. It's like, I need the USB port, and I need all these old ports. Yeah. And a lot of people are even okay with that Thunderbolt 3. It was just that keyboard was the only thing preventing them from getting it, that they would intentionally downgrade or intentionally get not a MacBook just because they couldn't get comfortable with that keyboard, or they were afraid of it failing. And I saw that becoming such a common complaint that I was like, this has to be, it can't be just a keyboard that stops people from enjoying the rest of the ecosystem or embracing Thunderbolt 3. Like, if it's just a matter of keeping thin keys, then this isn't worth it. Because a long time ago, like Attic Drew, my reasoning for the butterfly keyboard was, like you said, they wanted people to get used to almost virtual keys. Like, yeah,
Drew was an addict.
One day, yeah, addict Drew, back in the old Greenwald days, I was like, they want to move everyone to the touchscreen. The touch bar takes up the whole thing. That's what they're moving towards. I don't believe that anymore. Like, because of how they've handled the iPad lineup, with them embracing and advertising so much that, like, yeah, the iPad Pro has a virtual keyboard, but obviously you guys want an actual keyboard with keys that click and you can feel. And that's them kind of admitting that they know keyboards need that, or they know that a massive amount of people need keyboards to have a feel so that they don't have to look, and they like being able to press down on those buttons. Even in the into the future, into 2019, we're using these futuristic iPad Pros that are built for the next decade, and they're still shipping them so hard with these keyboards. And every ad and every picture, they showcase it with a keyboard. They want everyone to buy that keyboard. Now, I'm not into it because I grew up with virtual, so it doesn't matter to me. But maybe 10 years down the road, they will get MacBooks to touchscreen only. But within those 10 years, I just think we need something that's a tad more reliable than what these butterflies are doing, because they can't figure it out.
Okay.
What are you suggesting?
Okay, so I want to roll all of these things into one product that's probably not going to be ready this year, maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
My iPad Smart Keyboard is all fabric, and so there's no little gap for stuff to get into. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Even though I don't like the mechanism of the keys, I like the fact that I know I can spill sand on it and just get a little air blaster and just blast off the top.
That's what we all do. We just dump sand.
Exactly. Oh, I do all the time. Mm-hmm. Sand is coarse. It's rough. It's irritating. It's ever. Happy Star Wars Day, everyone.
It gets
May the 4th
everywhere.
Be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I would really love to see them put...
Sorry, since we're doing Star Wars Day, I just want to do my Palpatine.
You shall be banned as Rendyaskis. I want them to put fabric over the entire current third generation Apple Butterfly keyboard. I would love to see that.
Fourth generation now.
Well, it would be the fourth generation, but take the third generation's mechanism, all the stuff on the third generation, the gasket, and put this little fabric layer on top, and I would really like that. But the reason why I can't
like
do that right
Surface
now...
Surface laptop.
Yes, kind of. But the reason why
so
I can't do that
right
now... So
you want a Windows product, okay.
No, I don't. Shut up, Randy. Stop putting words into my mouth. Goodness. I want an Apple product.
No wonder
product.
You're so agitated today, Nick. The truth is coming out. You're so bent out of shape about this keyboard.
So,
because
so the reason why
I can
that
see
won't
where
work
going.
Right now is because the thermals on the MacBook... work by drawing air through the keyboard.
Oh, really?
If you take your i9 and export a video and it gets real hot, and you put your hand just right above the keyboard, you can feel air flowing because it's the fans are drawing air through the keyboard. So they can't do that right now. But I think whenever they eventually switch to like an A series processor for the MacBook, they can manage their thermals a lot better. And then they don't need that big vent on top. They can get by with the two vents on the side and then the one vent by the screen.
I didn't know that was a thing.
No, I didn't either.
What?
About the air doing the science.
That probably explains a lot
the
of the
thermals,
jamming.
Gosh.
A lot of the key failures, the fact that there's
it
a bunch
melts
of air intakes.
Because the I-9 gets too hot and the keys just melt together.
Right. Well, that is a long-term solution. I think the short-term would be to go back to the scissors.
No! Rock beats scissors. I don't know why that's relevant, but I felt like saying it.
I mean, I don't think they will, honestly, knowing how Apple is with their design choices and how they focus on their new trends and the standards they set. And they probably listen very closely to the people that say, I love the butterfly keyboard, it's better. And they probably go, oh, yes, that's right, they're correct.
You hear that, Tim Cook? I'm looking for a job. Let me know.
You just showcase right, all the people who love it.
Yeah, they hug those people, and that's why I don't think that they're going to go back to...
Tim Cook hugs me. Oh,
yes, they're not gonna go back to the scissor mechanism as much as I think they should, and that would probably make a ton more people happy. They're more likely to go through a 4-3 design of the butterfly keys, where they will once again try to reiterate that butterfly mechanism so that it can work, probably just because they put so much time and money into it and they refuse to accept failure. Like, no, we're gonna make it work. If we go backwards, that's admitting it doesn't work.
They have a scissor
mechanism.
That'll
be two things we canceled.
Yeah.
Ooh. So they've had scissor mechanisms and they've had butterfly mechanisms. What they now need is a whole new generation of keyboard.
Air power.
The mechanism. Half a butterfly mechanism. It's where they take one of the scissor mechanisms and cut one of the butterflies.
If we were in AR right now, Nick, I would slap you.
Good thing we're not in AR. But they call it the caterpillar keyboard because that obviously makes sense.
I want to grab you so bad right now because you went through all that just to say, but I mean, we could make a hybrid.
So
there
what's
goes
Randy's
the first
solution?
17 minutes of the show.
Do you say, does Randy say redesign or go back?
Go back. I honestly, okay.
No!
Well, hang on. I'm so indifferent about
beep.
This just because of the fact
the show
that.
Is now no longer working. Beep.
That's not how FaceTime works, Aunt Sweeney.
Oh.
Is it because you don't own a MacBook?
It's because, I don't own a MacBook, so my day to day with it, I don't have a day to day with it. But what I guess I would say go back. There's nothing wrong with the Magic Keyboard. I don't think people like your diehards will notice the change. Like, oh, they went back to the scissor mechanism. No one else is gonna know. No one else would know. No, like we made so much a big deal. The only reason why it would be known today is because they admit it was wrong. They went back. But if say there was no press about it and they just put out the next one. They'll be like, hey, it worked. No, nobody opens the MacBook or uses a computer based off of the keyboard function. So I think
unless it's broken, you know.
Unless it's broken. Like, you only draw attention to it when it's not working. I mean,
right.
Imagine if we had to draw attention to the touch bar because the touch bar wasn't working. Granted, I don't know if it doesn't work or not because I don't use it. But
It works fine, Randy. Gosh.
Sure. Great. Touch ID. What if Touch ID stopped working? Like, we only draw attention to something when it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So if they just went back, problem solved. But yes, they're too stubborn, maybe for their own good sometimes, to bend the knee in a way to be like, all right. So,
bend the knee.
So all that to say, here's my perfect, and I think, Drew, I think you said this. So maybe it's just an echo chamber at this point. But give us the Magic Keyboard.
No, it's not echo!
Shh, shh, shh. I get to talk now. You shut your mouth, peasant. All right, give us the Magic Keyboard and put the touch bar stuff up there if you want it as a preference, Touch ID, all that, and have this the universal standard for all things Mac. So iMac,
that'd be nice.
iMac Pro, MacBook, MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, etc., 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 and then nobody would, I don't think anybody would care. We'll make us think about it for the first couple of weeks, be like, oh, look, they went back on there, and then people will be happy and move on, and then they'll have to find something else they hate. about Apple, like air power or
yeah, yeah.
battery size of iPhones, something else, you know, the standard stuff. Then it's business as usual again.
So to understand Nick's point better, your argument is you prefer the butterfly keys, even if they have a higher failure rate and people feel like it strains their hands a lot. We need to just stick with it?
No.
Okay.
The reason for my position is because I'm an apple shape and you're not lying. You're an apple shape, Drew. It's insulting
well,
that
I
you
can't
still
argue
call yourself
with that.
An apple shape.
That's impossible to fight. Good points. Didn't consider that.
You're absolutely right, Nick.
Getting owned.
No, look but out. that's what a lot of responses were. But I like the butterfly keys, and I haven't had any issues. And I'm like, that's me too. I said that in the video, but that doesn't change the existence of all these other issues I'm seeing. And I don't think... Well, first of all, Nick, you don't use a MacBook, so it probably doesn't affect
you. I did for like a year and a half.
Right, but are you planning on using one like in the year, in the next
yes.
year?
Yes, actually I do. That's another don't announcement lie. I have to make.
Don't Wait, what? Lie. What?
So WWDC is coming up, yeah. and also Ethan needs some help with uploading some things. So I'm thinking about getting some kind of Mac in the next week. So we'll talk about that
in the second. Next week?
Yep.
But
wow.
we're recording
what
a podcast
Mac are you looking
this
at?
Week.
Oh, well, next week. Golly, whatever.
Just so it's a MacBook for sure?
Can
I convince you on
MacBook
an iMac?
Or Mac Mini. I haven't decided, so I don't want to talk iMac. About that. An iMac just sounds so big. And
do you have a monitor you'd use for the
I
Mac Mini?
I do have a monitor. Actually, I have a Mac Mini right now. It's just from 2010 and takes about 2 hours
Ew.
To turn on. Yeah, no, it's awful.
I have one from 08 in storage.
I literally think my Apple Watch is more powerful. I could probably plug
probably.
My Apple Watch into the...
That would not shock me.
Just just use it as paperweight like it's intended
can
by
I,
now.
Can I get... Hi, genius. Can I get one of the Apple Watch repair port to VGA adapters, please?
To VGA. Oh, God.
My goodness. That you're like... Ugh. How
what
old
models?
You,
what
how
models
old
are
you
considering? In
2010?
What's your budget? I want to hear more.
Well, I don't know. So I want it for a few reasons.
Okay. Just ignore my question altogether.
Really enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably continue just using an iPad mobile. So this is only really a desktop setup, or you know, for those two times that I guess three times so far that I've needed to ask Drew for help with video stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm thinking about $1,200, probably a good budget. Probably get something pretty decent with that. I don't mind
Got
being
it.
Used.
I'm already on it.
Okay. Drew, the non-Apple sheep is on
give
Apple's
me
website.
You just got to give me a number and I'll...
$1,200, get me the best Mac, go! Not $1,299, not $1,199, $1,200 even.
Dude. Okay.
Look at him, he's doing... So, all right, while he's doing all
you
that,
talk,
Nick, let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Can you be persuaded to get an iMac? You're not going to...
Sure.
Your Mac is not going
they're
to...
They're just more expensive for the processing power. I don't need a monitor. I already have a keyboard. I already have a mouse. I already have my trackpad. I just need...
But is it a butterfly mechanism keyboard?
It's not actually. It is an old USB
You're
keyboard.
Such a hypocrite.
Oh, he's using your words against you.
Shut I am.
Up, Randy.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My god.
So, here's my pitch about an iMac, even if it's just a 4K. You longevity, basically
okay.
longevity. You get an iMac, and that sucker is gonna hold out a long time. And you're not going to use it for anything but mm-hmm. Like professional suite type of stuff, whether you want to audio edit as well or do some filming, do the thing with Ethan, do what... even if you just want to watch YouTube in a higher res, whatever.
Ooh.
But the thing is, you're going to use your phone as your daily. That habit's not going to change. You're going to use your iPad as your daily. That's not going to change. And I can say that from experience. You're just going to use it for what it needs to get done. And because you're not going to just cram so much just crap on the machine, it's going to last you a really long time. So even if you get used and you just wipe the thing and you rebuild it, I feel like maybe just with screen real estate and the processing power and it's just meant to be your workhorse, it'll give you the longest bang for your buck because it's so powerful. So maybe if you pay just a little bit up front, it'll last you a long time. But this goes against your, and I know you, so I know this is very contradicting of it. You can't go into expecting to buy the new one this year and like, I want that display. I want that cinema display. You gotta sideline all that. You gotta be like, no, this is strictly for work. Look at it as like a tax write-off, Mr. Accountant over here. Okay. Just be
you gotta have income to write off.
Treat it. What I'm saying is treat it like a utility for work, not a toy, because that's what your iPads and your iPhones and your watch and literally everything else you have is for. When it comes to this, you're buying this not because you need it, but because it's going to make something simpler for doing.
I'm buying it
because
I want it, Randy.
If you're buying it because you know that's going to be your new thing, then you're going to just buy the $2,800 MacBook whatever this year that gets announced, and or the cinema display when that gets announced along with the Mac Pro, and then you're going to talk about overkill. So I'm just saying, for most value, best value, if you're willing to buy used, get the iMac. Don't even get the 5K. Get the 4K, and it's going to last you a long time. This thing is not slowing down on me. I'm dying for it to slow down so I can have an excuse to upgrade. No reason. No reason. No point.
I'm having a similar experience with my iMac Pro.
This thing is going to outlive me.
Yeah. I really wanted to upgrade to the modular Mac Pro when that comes out, but I'm having a real hard time justifying it just because the iMac Pro is doing so well.
I
know. But
what if I bought your iMac Pro, Drew?
Depend on how much. But
6,
we'll talk about that later.
We're starting to bid at 2,000. 2,000. We got going for 2,000. So
I didn't pay 6,000 for it.
2,500.
Sure.
Randy gets his 1,500 commission. Drew, you get 1,000.
I know. I know you're joking, but if it was 6,000, then yes, I would. But
yes,
I'll sign it on the back with a Sharpie.
No. Ooh. Oh,
you
wow,
see my terrible signature.
Why would you devalue the work of the asset?
So I've got a couple options for you, Nick, with your $1,200 budget. It mainly comes down to, do you want a desktop device or do you want a mobile device? Do you want a MacBook or do you want a desktop?
I'm leaning towards a desktop because
because Randy's just sold the hell out of it. It was so good.
No, I wasn't even listening. I was on Twitter. I don't know what you said.
Again, AR, I'd slap you so hard right now.
So I really love the fact that I just have an iPad for mobile. Like, I used to have to think when I had my MacBook and my iPad, I used to have to consciously think, if I'm going somewhere, do I want my MacBook and my iPad or my MacBook or just my iPad? And it was always a lot of brain work because you could do some things on the iPad and you could do some things on the MacBook. It's just simpler that I just made that one decision and now I just have an iPad. And I just take that and go. And the iPad's fine for 95% of the things that I ever need to do. But there are two reasons. So one, I like the fact that I just have iPad mobile. Two is you get a little bit more power for your buck. And I appreciate that. So anyway, do that as you will.
Yeah, well, the other good thing is the iMac has a more reliable keyboard, but for about a $1,200 budget on your $1,200 budget, what I always do when people are looking for a bang for buck is go to certified refurbished. Because the only difference is
you don't get the Apple box though, Drew. Gosh,
the box doesn't have a big colorful picture on the front. Other than that, it's basically brand new. Certified refurbished is basically new, but Apple's discount page. So right now, they have one that's $1,189, which is $210 off if you were buying this new. It has a 3.4 gigahertz quad-core Intel i5 that has... Okay, I'll talk slower. It has a 3.4 gigahertz...
No, what is the device? Is this an iMac Pro? Or
this is a 4K iMac, 21.5 inch. Very small, easy to throw in a vehicle if you're moving around a lot. It still has a Radeon Pro 560 with 4 gigs of VRAM, which is not going to be great for gaming, but that's not what you're doing. It has a terabyte Fusion drive, which is still relatively speedy.
No Fusion drives. Sorry. SSDs.
SSDs only? Oh, that changes
SSDs
everything.
SSDs only. That changes everything.
Never mind. Yeah.
No, I've played around with those Fusion drives before, and they're not worth it.
Another reason to go with a MacBook, which is PCIe SSD only.
Oh, interesting. But you only get 256 gigabytes. I don't need much. Interesting. So,
let me mess with the...
So you brought up the 21-inch iMac. And
1.5, correct.
What size do you have, Randy?
I have the 5K.
Okay, so 27-inch.
27.5 or whatever.
Yeah. I'm leaning toward, if I were to get an iMac, I would want the 27.5-inch one. For a few reasons.
Here's the thing. I only got that one because I needed the screen.
That won't be under $1,200.
Is it?
The cheapest 27-inch iMac is $1,800.
So
that's with a
thing,
Fusion
Nick,
drive.
Compromises are a thing. You can't have it all if you're going to buy.
Yes, I can, Randy.
No, you really can't.
Well, let me explore the Mac Mini real quick.
You got to look at what is most important to you. You have to prioritize that first and what you're willing to compromise, because this is not your daily driver. Back then when I bought the iMac, this was my daily driver. Hindsight, had I known, I would have became so minimal. I would have not got this one. I would have got something a little bit different, just because now I see how overkill it is. But I mean, I make it work. You only want to get the 27-inch if you're going to do a lot of video stuff. If you feel like you need the visual stuff for it all, it's good for that. It's really good for that. But if you're going to do, you know, working on coding or app or whatever you're going to help Ethan out with or the podcast stuff, I don't think the 27-inch really is that much necessary. It's more of a luxury at that point, if that's something you can save cost on.
But so I'm looking at it two ways. If sorry, get close to the microphone so everyone can hear me. I'm looking at two different ways here. I feel like this could either be a short-term purchase or a long-term purchase. I haven't decided yet. If I get something that like I don't want long-term, I'm going to be agnostic if I sell it in September for, you know, a couple $100 less than I bought it for. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But if they announce new models this year, you're not going to sell.
Well, they already have.
Well,
don't forget that.
A new iMac with like smaller bezels is what I'm thinking.
I'm talking about a physical redesign. Then.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we haven't had one in a long time. So
We're getting due. I mean, we've been due for 4 years, but.
But the iMac is pretty freaking powerful.
It is.
Yes.
As listed on their site. But let me throw in another variable, because I was toying around with the Mac Mini specs. It kind of depends on what's more important to you, CPU speed or storage space, because I know you only want
RAM.
SSDs.
RAM is the most important thing. I can get by on even 120 gigs of SSD and get by on an i3. But the one thing that I've realized on all of my Macs is RAM is always the limiting factor. When I had
a two gigabyte
RAM Mac, I always was running out of RAM. When I upgraded that guy to 16 gigabytes, I was still always running out of RAM.
Okay.
15-inch MacBook, I was still running out of RAM. So I want at least 16 gigabytes of RAM on a Mac Mini.
Okay. Well, if you were to go with a Mac Mini, you could get a 3.6 gigahertz quad-core 8th gen, though it is an i3, which means it's not the fastest out there, but it's decent. 16 gigs of DDR4 RAM and 128 gigs of SSD storage. That's $1,000, which leaves you $200 less to find a monitor.
Text me that link.
Okay.
Cool. Sold. So part of the reasons why I'm getting this is because Ethan needs some help with recompressing some videos, and there's no way my Mac can do that. I'm thinking WWDC is going to come around, and as soon as they start showing off whatever the new Mac OS is, I'm like, oh, I need that so bad. Thanks, Drew. It's always been in the back of my head, even when I sold my original Mac. Like, probably come June, I'm going to want another Mac. Just because Craig's going to get up there and show off some one cool feature, and I'll be like, oh, I need it. Go buy a whole Mac. But I think it's good to have a Mac. The Mac Mini that I have has been helpful. I've used it twice now to do little things that my iPad can't. Uh-huh. But the problem is it takes about 30 minutes to warm it up, open Safari, get connected to Wi-Fi, and do what I was actually going to do on the Mac Mini. So I see benefit in having a Mac desktop that, you know, I'll use maybe once a week or twice a week or something, which is why I don't want to spend $1,800 on it.
No, I wouldn't either in your situation. If I were you, I'd go with a MacBook, but I'm not you, so.
Yeah, but I just don't want that decision. I don't even want the temptation to bring it with me.
Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think about the iPhone SE 2?
Oh, my gosh, Randy.
That's long gone. For sure.
I
actually want to talk about the Pixel 4.
No, I don't. No, no, no. I don't want you to talk. You've reached your cap for this episode. You're done.
You've reached your data cap.
Oh, ouch.
Here's your data cap. Here's what I was thinking about right
when
now.
When is Google I/O again?
Next week. No, wait. Next week.
Something's. Well, the 3A is coming out in a couple days, but
yeah, I know.
I don't know if that's at Google I/O or is that separate?
I feel like they would announce it then, so they can read their. Everybody's revamped.
So they'd have something
in some
to
capacity,
talk about?
Or they're doing the 6 month later something. Like they'll do something. The fact that we haven't got a product read anything for the 10S series is like weird, because this will be the first time we don't get that because they rolled out.
You're right.
XR. I just felt like
first time in a while.
What everybody's been working on to just revamp sales again is some, you know, mid-year refresh, something cosmetic, or you know, SE or some cheaper version, something. But all that kind of got passed over for Apple this time, so mm-hmm. Which is just, it's weird. But you know, I was talking with a friend just like 2 or 3 days ago, and he was mm-hmm. saying he's a diehard Apple sheep guy, but mm-hmm. he goes, I still got the iPhone 10. I'm like, you didn't upgrade? And he's like, no. He's like, for once in my Apple iPhone, you know, career of all this, I didn't see the need to get the 10S because the 10 was so perfect and it was such a small upgrade. I just didn't,
exactly.
I didn't need it. And this is a guy who is like us, buys mm-hmm. everything new, and he'll find a way to sell the old one. And he's like, this is the first time I didn't do that. And it made me think, we really are slowing down on iPhone sales as a whole.
Definitely.
Maybe to the point that Apple won't waste.
Is too.
No, Apple won't waste money doing some half-year refresh cycle, something of a new color.
It's not even worth it.
People are just going to hold on to it. Maybe the numbers are. Maybe they see numbers we don't see about how much they're just holding on to a device that is mm-hmm. so old. The fact that people still have iPhone 6s out there like makes my stomach turn, because the thing is so ugly, but they're like, oh, it works. You know?
My sister uses one.
Oh, did you just call Drew's sister ugly? Oh, Randy. Gosh.
You know, the irony in that is the fact that if you were blind like me, they looked at, they're twins. One like, Drew, you grew out your hair.
Yeah.
You shaved your face. You shaved your hand face and grew out your hair.
That is true. They do look very similar.
Her fiance uses a 5S.
Ooh.
So they're like the old couple.
We need to get
him
on
together.
The podcast.
So does he use it unironically?
5S? He's just one of those people I know that have the mentality of just use the phone till it won't turn on. And the 5S still works, so he'll keep using it.
Listen, if he's going to be an Ericsson, even I know that's not how it works because she's going to take
his
name.
He isn't.
But if he's going to come, if he's going to be part of this family, because newsflash, Drew, Nick and I are part of this family now, okay?
Yeah. we are. Oh, wow. Nick Ericsson? Wow.
Obviously.
I am so proud of this community.
Yes, Nick, you're the one who has to forfeit your last name. I'm just going to hyphenate mine.
Your Randy Music.
Randy Music. I'm hyphenating Ericsson. So anyway. If he is going to be part of the Ericsson clan, he's going to have to learn to appreciate Apple in the way that the Apple sheep and shepherd has managed.
Good. I was going to say, he is no longer the sheep. I am the sheep.
Wait.
I'm the sheep now.
No, you're the shepherd.
No, wait. No. I was talking about Dr. Ericsson. He's the shepherd.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Ericsson. He uses a 6S Plus.
I'm calling your dad right now.
No, most of my family's not. I think my mom, ironically, has the most up-to-date phone. She has my old iPhone 10. I sold it to her for a discounted price. Yeah,
so that's where you get your smarts from.
Yeah. Well, she can't remember any of her passwords, but she uses an iPhone 10.
That's what the keychain's for.
She loves it. Yeah, she's like, I love Face ID because
her face.
I don't know any of my passwords, so Face ID saves it. And my dad wants a new one, but he's not annoyed enough with his 6S Plus.
Do you guys actually use the recommended strong password that Apple will generate? No.
Yeah,
no.
All the time.
Ooh.
See, I hate those because if in the event that I didn't have the keychain, then I would have no idea what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it's a risk there. So I'll take this off as the next topic here, Randy. Good transition.
Oh. You know, it's not a good transition when you have to address it's a good transition, Nick. Just let it happen organically. Oh, my God. How many episodes have we been doing? Just let it happen.
It's okay. Well, it's okay. This is a learning experience, all right? We've been podcasting for a while, but we're still learning, and we're still developing our skills.
But, Drew, we have so many Skillshare. Listeners. I'm so nervous.
Skillshare? Wow.
And Skillshare can
actually
teach you how to make good segues.
Is the best way to learn
brought
about
to you
science.
By Brilliant.
Brilliant Share.
The Skillshare only, okay. is brilliant.
All right, so let's talk about this keychain, Nick. Have at it.
All right, so about a year and a half ago, I used all of the same variants. I had three different passwords. They're all using the same base, though. They were all very similar. Mm-hmm. And I used that for iCloud. I used that for every random app I signed into, my Gmails.
Okay.
I love that, Andrew 123.
Oh, my gosh, how did you guess it? How did you guess that?
Just announce it everywhere. Why don't you?
Yes.
So anyway, about a year and a half ago, I got a notification from Google that someone was trying to sign into my account from Paris, and it was suspicious, and so they like locked it up, and so that's when I realized, okay, well, someone has that password, which means they have. Oh, all of these other passwords. And so that's when I realized, okay, I need to go get 1Password, the best password manager, FastPass.
I see.
LastPass. Yeah, whatever. No, anyway. That's when I realized, okay, I need to manage this a little bit better. So I reset all of the important passwords, my Gmail, my iCloud, my, the more important passwords.
Right.
And I reset those, my Amex password, all my bank accounts. I used Apple's auto-generated password. Before I clicked OK and set up the password, I copied that password onto a note that's a password-protected note.
Okay.
And so I have all of that information, just one iCloud login and 1Password note password entered in away. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why I decided I'll trust Keychain enough, because I do have a backup, even though the backup is not simple. Because, I'd have to, if all my Apple products fell into a pool and died, I'd have to find a PC, log into that, log into iCloud, log into...
That'd be a hassle, but no doubt.
But, they're still there, and they're not going to be lost. And so those passwords are very long, though. They're like 20 characters. And so
they're unguessable.
Very secure.
That's for sure.
Very much unguessable.
But I would also say mine are unguessable.
Apple lover 456. Gosh, I already knew that.
Close. No. No, that they're random phrases and jumbled acronyms that that aren't related to anything people know. Yeah. It's just weird random stuff. So I trust my brain too.
My brains.
Until you fall on the concrete, Drew. Louise is like, what's the password to the iMac?
Well, they would just have to... no, I'm not even going to give people ideas. There's this one tree with a chest underneath it. No.
If you just remember Drew's third grade favorite movie at that time, who was the lead voice actor in the supporting role? Times three, there's the password.
What's their daughter's name?
Yes, it's Johnny Ive, correct.
I wish we could rely a tad more heavily on biometrics for all these passwords and stuff. Like, I'm starting to get annoyed, and there's a guy in our Discord who's talked to me about this, who talks about like how much of his customer service experience is just talking with people about what to do if you forget your password and all the steps they have to go forward with. It's like, I think we need to abandon the security questions thing, because that just doesn't work.
Those are stupid.
Especially for people who...
Everyone? I'm gonna help you out. Mm-hmm. I had no idea about this till I started working at my accounting firm, and they used this, and it just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of answering each question, what school did you go to when you were in second grade, or what's your mom's maiden name, or whatever, you just pick one word that you use for all of the different accounts, and you just put that as an answer. So,
but they won't remember that. That's why they're answering security questions.
For all
it defeats
people,
the purpose of the security
well, all
question.
All the security questions, if you know that it's just one thing, you know, like Nick. All of my answers are Nick. Don't try to reset my password.
Oh, okay. I forgot my password. No, but I mean, the whole issue with the security question thing is that the reason they're answering those is because they can't remember the first password in the first place. So there's even less of a chance that they're going to remember the security question. And the capitalization matters, or how they spell it matters. Like, they easily mess up. I wish that we could just start admitting, maybe not this year, maybe the next year or the year after, Apple could just start saying, like, all right, biometrics are good enough. All right? We've established that Face ID is reliable enough. It's secure enough. Face ID Gen 2 will be even better, and they'll feel more comfortable with it. It's like, if you forget your password, all you need is the phone to look at you and be like, Face, if that unlocks, okay, you can reset your password. Good. You don't need security questions. You don't need all that. That's the backup authentication if you need it.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we could just start falling back on all that, because there's so many people now that forget their
eventually,
passwords, and they don't know what to do.
We're going to give our phone or our iPad or our whatever blood samples.
Oh, God.
Rectal scans and blood
And so
samples.
When you get a blood transfusion, you're not the same person. Hey.
So I kind of like, so wait, Rene Ritchie.
No,
has,
no, before you, I have to finish this thought about this blood transfusion thing. Oh, I have okay. to. I really have to. At what point? When you start blood transfusion, you get these things changed to you. Even if, like, you know, a pacemaker in your heart, you get a prosthetic leg, or they replace, like, if you have something like soft bones, and so they put like metal poles. Mm-hmm. And at what point do you become less human and more bionic?
Ooh. Whenever you sell your soul to Apple. Oh, wait.
That's a deep question.
I'm going to hang up on you, Nick, right now. Hang on. So go ahead, Drew. I'm serious. That's something I think about. Something like, at what point, when do you become more bionic and less, I am a machine?
I would say when the neurons are not in a carbon-based life form's control anymore.
Because I
as
just
in your brain.
Because
the control.
I don't know what you just said, I'm going to assume you just insulted me, and I resent that.
No, I'm saying, like as soon as the human brain is not the one giving out the actions to the rest of the body, like right now all of us, our brains are telling our eyes to look around and our hands to move. I would say
to what you're talking about. Yes.
A robot ever took control of that, then it would be bionic and not human. But as long as a human brain is in control, I would still consider it like
so
it, it's
by your definition. By your definition, General Grievous is still a carbon-based life form.
He has bionic
a brain,
parts
eyeballs, and lungs. Yep.
Yeah, he has bionic parts, but he is still a carbon-based life form. He's General Grievous is not a droid.
Interesting.
Excellent addition to my.
Okay, so we're going
that's
back to
that's where
thing.
I draw the line.
All right, just
little
food for thought, something to think about.
That's a deep question.
Audience, if you're, I'm just curious what they think as well. It's something, you know why? The real purpose of me going somewhere with that is, mm-hmm. you know how they talk about like, oh, maybe we put some type of chip or something, and when we get
right.
one more step closer to that, we're moving to some type of another wearable. And we really depend heavily in our social daily lives to have this technology. And some people depend it on their literal lives to have this mm-hmm. type yep. of technology to keep them alive. So when it starts to become the norm.
I don't know what I'd do without Twitter.
A whole lot more, I'm sure. You'd be more productive.
Ooh. Ooh.
Get off the gram, Ann Sweeney. So, so I guess my thought is that like once we can actually like – make it more efficient, these chips and these things that just like is overall for the betterment of mankind, mm-hmm. and that becomes the new norm. It's just something I've put some thought into, and I just want to know if I'm the only one who sits up late at night
not
staring
at, all.
At the ceiling wondering what's the point.
However, I think it's way further than most people make it out to be. I personally,
the regulations alone just.
Oh yeah, in surgery has never been a simple process.
No,
which will drastically affect the install base.
If it was simple, everybody would be doing it.
Even if it's like, you'll just walk into the store and they just give you a shot real quick, and then the chip's installed. It's like, it's not going to be that easy. There's no way. It'll take, I think, 100 years before that type of technology can work with our body, and it can be readily accessible, and you can just walk into a store and get that real quick. To the point that by 100 years, I mean I'll be dead. I won't be alive to see that. I don't think we'll live to see.
No, you're gonna have your brain uploaded to the Matrix, and you will never die.
Yeah.
Maybe we are the Matrix. Maybe this is all a simulation.
If there's ever people who say, like, let's take Drew's consciousness and post it into a robot someday, let this be the record. I don't want that. When I'm dead, leave me. Leave me dead. Don't mess with my brain.
You heard it here first, robots.
Burn my entire body and sprinkle the ashes into a garbage can.
I'm not sure if that's legal.
We'll
How will
make
they know?
It legal.
The Senate will decide off.
I'll make it legal.
Make it legal.
Someone says, the Tesla robo-taxi will drive your car around giving people rides all by itself. I don't think that's legal, Elon.
I'll make it legal.
I hurts to laugh so much. Oh my goodness. That was a good hearty one. All right, Nick, go ahead. What do you got with Rene Ritchie? Can we go one episode without talking about him?
No, we can't. This is the Rene podcast now. We're a fan account for Rene Ritchie.
What you got? I'm more.
Oh, got it.
It took a second, but you got it. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Drew has this weird slur going on.
He's got brain implant.
That's the new announcement.
So back to the password thing. Rene has said that, and I totally agree with him, that
then you should go on his podcast.
Move instead of looking for specific biometrics like your blood sample or your face or a retinal scan or your fingerprint, it should move more towards like context.
Yes.
Because when I'm at home in my room, I don't want my phone to be locked. Like, I don't need it to be locked. It can be unlocked the entire time. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, I was at a grocery store or whatever, I'd want it to lock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of room for improvement. Just how, like, the Apple Watch can unlock Mac and the phone can unlock the Apple Watch. I think that there should be more growth in, like, just awareness of your situation and building a model that fits you. So if you're on your commute to work, you know, maybe your phone doesn't need a lock because it knows it's connected to your car. It knows it's driving on the commute that it drives every morning. And it knows it's listening to your favorite playlist. So, like, it's pretty sure that it's you. And... Hmm. You know, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of more. There's more potential there. Like, I would be more interested.
You mean
to see
Siri
that
shortcut?
Than... Mm-hmm.
Don't you mean Siri shortcut? That's what Siri does.
What does Siri do? Oh, like context awareness? Well, she doesn't unlock your phone.
No, the whole.
So it, know, there, like, there should
it,
be
it knows
there should
what
be like,
it knows what you're doing,
well,
and
yeah,
so it gives you
exactly.
Shortcuts.
So they have part of the work there done already. Mm-hmm. They just need to add some different levels. So when I'm at home in my room is probably the safest place ever. It can leave that unlocked all the time. If I go outside, maybe make sure it requires authentication by like Face ID, just you looking at your phone every 2 minutes or something. If I'm on public transit, maybe turn on Face ID the entire time and make sure it's always me. You know?
So what you're saying is you want a more seamless transition between being locked and unlocked.
Sure. But, like, I want it to be less apparent. Like, when I'm laying in bed using
that's
my phone and I accidentally drop it on my face and, like, I hit the power button, too, and, like, I got to swipe up to, like, unlock it again, and it feels like this doesn't need to be here right now.
Maybe
like,
you shouldn't be on your
locked.
Phone when you're in your bed. Bad mental habits.
That's
bad
the simple solution.
I see the potential. I see the potential in that. I agree. I think it should definitely be an option because
yeah.
for people who live alone or don't care about privacy from the people they live with, then that would be a great option. If you did care about privacy, like for my situation, it would be like kids accessing their parents' phone or having a roommate that you don't want to be able to unlock your phone. Yeah, like as an option for sure. But yes, I would absolutely use that. If they did unveil it, I would totally be like, if I'm at home, we'll just make sure you don't need Face ID in that instance. Mm-hmm. They can just swipe to unlock because, yeah, I'm not worried about someone accessing my iPhone, particularly me who works at home and I'm home alone a lot of the day. So that just means
doesn't really matter.
The Face ID going over the top is kind of unnecessary. So mm-hmm. at that point, yeah.
And like also having an extra layer of security on top of that. So you have three tiers, like one mm-hmm. tier where it's very safe, you know, your home or in your car.
That'd be interesting.
A normal tier where it works like it normally does when you're just, you know, at the grocery store or something.
In public.
But then when you're like on public transit or like at an airport or somewhere where like it's higher risk that someone like grabs your phone and runs away.
Or you're in LA.
It requires
to unlock it like three times.
Yeah.
Well, no. It'll just leave the Face ID sensor on because we know that it can do some background face scans.
Oh my goodness.
It could just always be watching.
Yeah, on that, I was recording.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I was recording the phone. I don't know if I mm-hmm. can... okay, so I was doing something. I might have been one of my videos. I don't remember. But for long periods of time, I was recording the phone. And I mm-hmm. noticed there a certain interval, mm-hmm. the sensor would go off. So it is doing some type of mm-hmm. check, something. Yep. And I think what it's... Right now, what it's doing, it's like... reading like the light, how bright it is in the room, and so it's doing stuff like that to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. So, because my only concern would have been that it's going to consume more battery, but it does it anyway, and it's mm-hmm. doing just fine. Two, you know, they're really good at managing the batteries, and three,
sure.
I really like the idea of like interval checkups, like to make sure it's still mm-hmm. your eyes on the screen every. Like you can program it the same way you have it set to go and lock. Every minute or 5 minutes mm-hmm. or never, you could program it the same way as like in these when I'm not at work or wherever, like you're saying, just it requires authentication every 90 seconds or something like that. And then,
or like you said, if a foreign face appears mm-hmm. that's not registered to the phone, then it would instantly lock. Like, you wouldn't even have to...
I don't like that for the reason that I see a hilarious meme and I'll give my phone to a coworker or a family member or something. Look at this. And they get a good laugh and I don't want them to look at it and goes...
I wouldn't say instant.
Well,
I would say like prolonged.
So that's why the context matters. If your phone knows it's connected to your work's Wi-Fi and... You know, it knows you're looking at a picture or you're watching a video, maybe it sets the threshold to different. So if you... show it to another person, maybe it waits 5 minutes before it locks.
Maybe if another person opens settings.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Like an instant or sandbox check. It. True. Yeah. If you try to go home, you can't go home without, you know, whatever. But yeah. So I think there's a lot of...
Or open,
that's the next step in biometric security.
Opening
I don't
apps
disagree with that.
Opening apps with personal information specifically. Mm-hmm. So if you're browsing something on Instagram or you're watching videos and you hand it to someone else, that's fine. It won't lock it for that. But if that person happens to leave the YouTube, leave the Instagram app, and then open messages, then it's like, it's like, wait, that's not you.
Exactly.
Or something. I think you got something there. I think contextually based security could be bigger in the future. I could see that.
Thank you.
I would totally
use it. Thank you, Renee Ritchie, for the wonderful idea.
As much as I'm home all the time, I would totally I would almost never use Face ID. I'm always home.
Well, you'd use it for maybe verifying a purchase or something like that.
Yeah, you'd use it on occasion, but anytime I unlock my phone, it would just be instantly unlocked. It's like, problem solved.
That'd be nice. Yeah, but there are like certain circumstances where like I'm taking public transit or something where I feel nervous holding my
phone, watching it.
Well, lucky you. Yeah. Every once in a while I do. And I like hold my unlocked phone and like, you know, I'm just aware of my surroundings. Mm. And I'm always thinking like, okay, well, you know, the train stops. Someone could run, grab my phone, run off the train, and then I'd be stuck on the train.
You should just learn jujitsu.
Or I could strategize about this and complain to Apple for not having better biometric
security.
This
is Apple's fault my phone got stolen. How dare they?
Yeah. Exactly.
Or what if you mark it as lost and find my iPhone, mm-hmm. then like if any face shows up in front of it, it'll like take a picture and send it to you. Here's who has access. Send this picture to the police.
Oh my gosh.
So
funny.
Someone is like trying to guess your passcode and they mm-hmm. pull out the phone and they type it. It's like, clink, got that, thanks. And a little pop-up says like, return this to the owner.
Yeah.
By the way, we have your picture. We're sending it to, you know.
So if you have an Apple Watch, it could also work with the Apple Watch to be like, you know, if the Apple Watch is, you know, right next to your phone, then it's highly likely that it's you and it leaves it unlocked.
No, yeah, the Mac already does that.
Public transit. Yeah. Well, if you're unlock like literally your Mac holding your phone, if you're like 6 inches away, if your watch is 6 inches away from your phone, it'll just always leave it unlocked no matter what.
Right.
Because that means you're holding your phone. But if someone takes your phone and runs to the end of the train, your watch mm-hmm. is now, and now your phone knows your watch is, you know, 30,
that's
50
perfect.
Feet away and
exactly.
locks it up. And so they already have a lot of them in place. They just need mm-hmm. to flip the switches. So, or as Renee would say, flip the bits.
Right.
Stop referencing him.
We're trying to get him. Oh, wait, he was already on the podcast. That was Marquez.
Stop referencing.
Marquez.
Speaking of Marquez.
Hi.
Google I.O. is on May 7th. I checked, by the way.
Okay.
So
speaking of
probably,
Marquez, Google.
Well, I'm saying that because absolutely no one uses the Pixel except Marquez.
Marquez. He's the one person who bought it.
And do you guys remember how much everyone freaked out about Google Duplex last
yes.
year?
Mm-hmm.
And this
totally.
Morning I tweeted out, I'm trying to figure out how many people use it. And I don't recall ever Marquez doing a follow-up video on it or saying like, here, real life use, or I'm using Duplex or checking out Duplex. And I'm just like, well, everyone's pretty quiet, because that was the biggest takeaway from last year's I.O. was everyone was like, it can make appointments. A robot said, holy cow. It's so believable. And now it's like no one uses it. I've never heard any YouTuber talk about it since.
A robot Ready? Said,
Remember the Tesla guy, Randy? And whenever we tried to call him, his phone would go to, this is Google Voice. Please say your name, and I'll try to get your call through.
He screen called you?
And yeah, it was for all of them. And it was such a pain to get hold of
him. Because he had a fake number. That wasn't his real number. That's a Google
number.
Oh, okay. Number.
Was that the problem? Okay.
So what
was that not Duplex then? I thought that was
No.
Duplex is when you want to make an appointment, so you have Google Assistant call the restaurant or haircut place.
I thought there was some kind
of
like screening feature.
No, there's a Google number you can
like...
actually use. Anybody can use
I've used screen call when I had the Pixel.
Yeah.
People would call me, and it's basically what Apple does with voicemail when they dictate it. You hit screen call, and the Google Assistant will say, this person is using a Google screen call. Say your name and why you're calling, and then in dictation form, it will spell out who's talking and why, and then you can answer from then. That's pretty nifty, though it confused more people than anything, because anytime I would screen call... because I got a lot of spam calls. So if it was a spam call and I didn't know the number, I would just hit screen call and then they would hang up instantly. So if a spammer wants to call you and scam you, and they hear, this is a Google Assistant, state your name and while you're calling, they instantly just hang up. They don't care.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But the one time I used it with like my sister, she was just like, she thought she dialed the wrong number. She was
Do
like,
you
oh,
love
this
me?
Is.
Yeah. Who is this?
As a receptionist now, but yeah. Anyway, I just think it's funny. No one's using Duplex.
Hello. I am Talos's receptionist.
Please state your name and why are you calling? This is your sister, Drew, so you better call me back.
I can't wait to find out all the features they're going to discontinue this year. Anyways, have any closing thoughts?
Air power is dead.
Air power is dead, and Marquez needs to get on our show.
Let's just keep that closure going. That's our outro. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, everyone. Appreciate you. And air power is dead, and we'll catch you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Henceforth, you shall be known as Darth Vader.
Happy May 4th. We're going to try to get this episode up today. So happy Star Wars Day. Goodbye.